Okay, so last week we ended off with Pasuk Yedalad, so we'll pick up with Pasuk Tesvav tonight. And if you remember, basically this first part of the Perek was all about this Malach that appearing to the wife of Manoach, telling her that she's going to have a child, and that she has to treat herself and this young unborn fetus as a nazir, and not consuming any grape products, perhaps not becoming tamei. We discussed that, and then we know Manoach wanted to see the Malach, and he asks for the Malach's return. The Malach does come back and basically confirms everything that he told his wife. And we mentioned last week this idea of Rav Schwab, that to raise a nazir you have to act like a nazir. So that's why both Manoach and his wife were commanded to act themselves like a nazir, even though they weren't a nazir. But if you're raising a nazir, that's how you have to act to train this child. Okay, let's take a look at Pasuk Tesvav. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tesvav. So Vayomer Manoach el Malach Hashem. So Manoach says to the Malach Hashem, and again, according to most of the Mefarshim, he's still not sure that this is a Malach, right? It might just be a Navi. So the person, this person came back, spoke to his wife, and now came back. But it's not clear to Manoach yet that this is a Malach. But we know it's a Malach. And he says to him, Natsra na osach, v'nase lefanecha gidi izid. So Natsra na osach seems to be saying, stop, atzor, right? Let us stop you, and let's make you gidi izid. Let's make you a dish. Meaning it's a fellow that came to give them good tidings. So they said, why don't you join us for a meal? Right? Why don't you join us for dinner? That's essentially what it is. Rashi says, come join us at home. Right? We'd like to invite you for dinner.
So this means we didn't think he was a Malach.
Oh. So the Malbim says that he wasn't sure. Right? The Manoach wasn't sure if he was a Malach or if he was a man. And therefore he's suggesting to him that either come eat with us. The Malbim understands these are two things. Natsra na osach is come eat with us, right? Or that's assuming you're a man and you're going to have dinner tonight. Or if you're a malach, then v'nasa lefanecha gidi izim. What's the gidi izim? That would be a karban. So I mean, if you're a man, come have dinner with us. And if you're a malach, we'll bring a karban. The Alshich says in a similar way. The Alshich also understands that he's not quite sure. Who he is. Alshich says it a little stronger that he thinks that he was a man. He thinks that he was a navi. So he understands natsrana means come and let's have a meal, a regular meal. Once you're here, I'd like to bring a karban. Right? Once you're here, I'd like to bring a karban. And he's starting to think that maybe he's a malach. So he says, but either way, whether you're a malach or you're a man, either way, I see that the Shekhinah of Hashem is with you. Right? Either you're a malach or you're a navi, but the Shekhinah of Hashem is with you. And the Alshich interestingly says that that's why he was asking to bring a karban. Because where do we bring a karban? We bring a karban in a place where the Shekhinah of Hashem is present. The Beis HaMikdash, you have the Shekhinah of Hashem. Right? So here too, if this person was a Navi or a Malach, he has the Shekhinah of Hashem with him. And therefore, it's fitting to bring a karban. This might, let's hold on to this thought. This actually might answer a question that comes up a little bit later.
The question is, Gerald, he says, let's bring a karban. But to bring a karban, you have to build a bama, right? It's not such a bummer. Every time I read the sukkah, it makes it sound like let's just throw a cover on the body, but it's like it must probably a day or two's work to get a bummer together. It could be, I hear that, I didn't think about that, that's interesting, right? Yeah, I don't know, it's a good question.
Maybe they had these old bummers that weren't in use, hanging around.
I don't know. How can we interpret this to be a karban?
Yeah.
The way I look at it, Manoach is really testing him mm-hmm. to see whether or not he's a malach or not.
Oh, right.
If he's a malach, he's not going to eat.
Right.
If he's a navi, he will be eating.
Right, right. So that's essentially what the Malbim is saying. The Malbim is saying that he really wasn't sure, so he was making both of these offers and like, let's see where you bite. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's see where you go. You're right. Tes Zayin. Vayomer Malach Hashem Manoach. So the Malach Hashem says to Manoach, "Im tatzereini lo ochal belachmecha." If you stop me, I'm not going to eat your bread. I mean, if you hold me up, if you invite me, I'm not going to eat your bread. And this is where, by the way, the Alshech gets this idea of the Natsuran on the previous pasuk being a bread meal, right? Because otherwise, the Alshech says, "Who said anything about bread?" The Malach saying, "I'm not going to eat your bread." Who offered him any bread? All we have is Gedei Izim. So he says, "No, obviously the Natsuran was an offer of a regular meal with bread." Okay, but he says, "If you hold me up, if you invite me, I'm not going to eat your bread." Vimtase Ola LaHashem, and if you're going to make a korban, you're going to bring a korban to Hashem. Talena, so bring it. Bring it up. Meaning, but you don't need me. Kilo yoda manoach ki malach Hashem hu. And the pasuk testifies that Manoach did not yet know that he was a malach Hashem. Now the Radak says, essentially he's telling him, I'm not going to eat. You know, if you're inviting me for dinner, I'm not going to eat. But if you want to bring a carbon, go ahead. And he says also specifically, Vim tase ola Hashem talena. Why does he say ola Hashem? Just say tase ola. Because at those times many people worshiped Avodah Zarah. So you want it to be clear, if you bring a korban to Hashem, not to Avodah Zarah, chas v'shalom, but you bring a korban to Hashem, so then you can do it. The Mitzudas David seems to say that the Malach is trying to get out of here. Right? That's also the language. Im tatzreini, if you're holding me up, right? If you're inviting me, but you're holding me up, you know, I'd like to leave. Number one, I'm not going to eat. And number two, if you're going to bring a korban, you don't need me here to bring a korban. Just bring a korban to Hashem, and that's it. Now the Alshech says, interestingly, number one, I don't need bread. Right, so you're inviting me for a bread meal. You know, I'm not going to eat your. I don't eat bread. Okay, I don't eat. Now, and if you want to bring a korban, says the Alshech, it's better that you do it with me, not here. Why? So the Alshech says because the Malach says if you do it with me here, it looks like what are you doing?
Being brought to the Malach.
Exactly, it looks like the korban's being brought to the Malach. It looks like you're bringing the korban to me, but you're bringing the korban to Hashem. So therefore, he says
from the words of the pasuk, it makes it sound.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And that's exactly his point. The Malach is saying, I'd rather not lefanecha. Forget, don't do it lefanai. Right, very good. Right, just, if you're going to do it to Hashem. Bring korban to Hashem. You don't need me here. Let me go. Right, let me go back. Pasuk Yitzayim. Vayomer Manoach el Malach Hashem, mi shemecha. So, Manoach says to the Malach Hashem, you know, what's your name? Ki yavo divarcha v'chibad nucha. That's an interesting conclusion. We'll see exactly how to translate it. So Rashi understands, Ki yavo divarcha v'chibad nucha means, you know, tell us your name, because if in the future you send us a message, we'll listen to it. If you tell us what your name is, you know, you say, my name is, Beryl, and then a year later we get a message that Beryl told, is, you know, wants you to do something, so we'll know it's you. Right, so the Rashi understands at a very simple level. Tell me your name, so that in the future, if you send us a message, you know, in your name, we'll know that it's from you and we'll listen to it. The Malbim says that Manoach thought that maybe, you know, he's telling me he doesn't want to eat my food. Why doesn't he want to eat? Maybe he doesn't want to eat because he's doing this for kavod. You know, he's giving this nevuah, and it's for kavod, so it's kind of beneath his kavod to eat by us. You know, to come and eat a meal with us. So he said, you know what, if it's for kavod, so tell me your name so I can give you kavod. Right? As the pasuk says, ki yavo devarucha v'chibad nucha. If what you're saying is going to come true, right? If your prophecy that we're going to have a child is going to come true, I'll give you a little kavod. Tell me your name and I'll give you the kavod. The Alshech says that at this point, Manoach seems to start to think, you know, maybe this guy is really a malach. I thought until now he was a Navi, but maybe he's really a Malach. He's not eating by me. You know, he's telling me the karma has to go to Hashem and not to him. You know, maybe he's really a Malach. And he says that's why he asks him for his name. Because if I ask him for his name, if he doesn't tell me his name, so then I see he's a Malach. And if he just tells me his name is Beryl, so he's Beryl. But if he tells me, you know, if he doesn't tell me his name, then I'll know that he's a Malach. In fact, it's interesting. The pasuk says, Mi Shemecha. Now, if you were writing the pasuk, how would you write it?
Mashemecha.
Right? Usually what? What is your name? You say Mashemecha. Right? But here it says Mishemecha. So most of the Mavarshim say, yeah, it's the same thing. It means, you know, what's your name? But the Alshech says in a fascinating way. He says Mishemecha is hinting to one of the Malachim. Which Malach? Mi? Michael. Right? So the Alshech says that Manoach had a hunch that maybe this is Michael. Why would it be Michael? Why Dafka that Malach? Who was the Malach that came to tell Sarah that she was going to have a baby? Michael. Chazal tell us that Michael was the Malach that came to tell Sarah that she was going to have a baby. So the Manoach starts to think, you know what, maybe this guy is really a Malach, and if he's a Malach, maybe it's Michael. Just like Michael came to tell Sarah that she was going to have a baby, maybe it's the same Malach that's coming to tell my wife that she's going to have a baby. So that's why he says, Mi Shemecha, hinting to the fact that, is your name me? Mi Shemecha, is your name me? Is your name Michael? Is that really your name? Are you the one who told Sarah, and therefore you are the one coming to tell me?
Yeah. The one who came to Sarah, his name was Michael.
Chazal tell us that.
Is that in the Torah?
No, Chazal tell us. I think Rashi there says that.
I'm pretty sure
it is. Okay. So, Pasuk Yirches, Vayomer lo Malach Hashem, Lama ze tishal shmi. So the Malach says, what are you asking me my name? We find this also, right? Even with the Malach, even with Yaakov and the Malach, right? The Malachim don't like to divulge their names. The who Peli, and it's Peli, okay? So what does Peli mean? So Rashi says, Peli means that it's hidden from me. What do you mean my name is hidden from me? What do you ask me my name for? My name is hidden from me. That's how Rashi understands the pasuk.
Hidden
from the Malach. The Malach is saying, I don't know my name, right? Why? So says Rashi, because the name of a Malach is a messenger of Hashem. A name is a person's essence. So the name of a Malach means that's the mission of the Malach. So he says, I never know what my name is going to be because my name changes depending on my mission. Every day, whenever I'm sent on a mission from Hashem, then that's the name that I have. So says the Malach, what are you asking me my name for? I don't know my name. My name changes depending on my mission. Right? So he's indicating with this that he's really a Malach. The Radak says, V'hu Peli, means that it's a Pele, it's something wondrous, that it's beyond our understanding. And he's saying, don't ask me my name, because you're not going to be able to understand. Right? You know, a person, you know, Beryl, Shmerel, those names we can understand. Chaim Yankel, we can understand. But the name of a Malach, the Malach is saying, you're asking me for my name, you're asking me for my essence. You can't begin to understand what a Malach is. Right? And that's also, you know, part of the idea. The Malbim says that he's telling him I'm a Malach, and therefore I don't need the kavod. Remember, he said that part of the concern of Manoach was that maybe he wants the kavod. So let me ask him his name, I'll give him kavod. The Malach is saying, what are you asking me my name for? I'm not here for the kavod. I'm a Malach. I'm not here for the kavod. That's not what I'm doing this for. And he says his name is Peli. Why? The Malbim says Peli is from the language also of Pele, because he's about to do wonders. And we'll see some of the wonders that the Malach is about to do. Chazal say that his name was Peli, based on the wording of the pasuk in the Torah, ki afli lindor. The word Pele or hafla'a is a language of taking a vow or taking a neder. Why? Because here, since this Malach is telling Manoach and his wife that this child is going to be a Nazir, Nazirus is a form of a neder. So he's saying that my name is Peli because I'm the one who just informs you that this child is supposed to be a Nazir. And the Al-Shukh says that that's why his name was Peli, because again, a Malach always gets his name based on his mission. So since his mission here was to inform them, obviously to inform them they would have a child, but also that that child would be a Nazir, and they should act like Nazirim, so therefore he called, that's why his name was Peli, because that was his job. His job, his mission was to communicate the Nazirus to Manoach and his wife. Okay. Pasuk Yutes, now listen to what he does. Vayikach Manoach eskedi ha'izim v'yes ha'mincha. So he sees that, you know, that this guy is not eating. Right, he's telling me he's not going to eat, and again he's hinting to Manoach that he's a Malach. So he says, "Okay." Manoach says, "Let me go the carbon route. Okay, I'm going to bring a carbon." So he takes the gedi ha'izim, he takes the goat, he takes the flower offering, vayal al hatzur l'Hashem, and he brings it up onto the rock to Hashem. Now it's clear also, you know, this touches on Irwin's question before: how can he build a bama so quickly? So it sounds like he's just bringing it on a rock, right? And the rock is acting as a bama. You know, a bama is not necessarily, you know, many little stones all put together like an altar, but you can even have one stone maybe, and that could be a bama. That's what it sounds like from the pasuk alatzur l'Hashem. Umafli lasos. Now we'll see this language, a very interesting wording here. Umafli lasos, literally that he does wonders. Umanoach v'ishto roim, and Manoach and his wife now just watch. They take this gedi, they take this the shechted goat. And they take this flower offering, they put it on a rock, and then they move back and they stand back and watch and see what happens. Okay, so this was the carbon, the offering that he's bringing. Okay, now what's interesting here, obviously, is that they're just watching to see how it goes. They're just watching to see. The Alshech says here, Umaflila Asos refers to the Malach. The Malach is the one who acts wondrously. So the one who acts wondrously, Umanoach the Ishto, and Manoach and his wife are all Roim. All three of them are Roim. So he understands Maflila Asos is a reference to the Malach. Just like Peli was his name, so Maflila Asos is a reference to the Malach. What do you mean they were all watching? So says the Alshech, the Malach stood back with Manoach and his wife to watch the korban. Why? Because if he stood back to watch the korban, what would that indicate? The korban is going to whom?
Hashem.
To Hashem, not to him. Right? If he's standing with the owners of the korban, watching what's going to happen, obviously this korban is not to him. So that's why he was dafka, stood next to them, to show that this korban wasn't going to him, it was going to Hashem. Now, the Radak points out here, that's interesting, that Chazal are bothered. How could Manoach have done this? We are now in a time in Sefer Shoftim when already we have a Mishkan and there's an Isser Bamos. You're not allowed to bring a carbon on a Bama anymore. So how could Manoach just out of the blue decide, I'm going to bring a carbon right here? You can't bring a carbon in your backyard, right? In the time of the Heter Bamos, you were allowed to do that. Make a Bama and bring a carbon, but you can't do that anymore. So how is he allowed to do it? So Chazal answer, I'm sorry?
Who was bringing the Bama?
The Manoach was bringing the carbon on the Bama right now.
Oh, it wasn't the angel.
No. The angel's not doing it. He's just watching. Manoach's bringing the carbon.
But if you said you can't give a bullet.
Exactly. That's the question. So what's the answer? So how was he allowed to do this if we were in the time of Isser Bamos, he wasn't allowed to do it? So Chazal answered that this was Hora Asha. This was an exceptional case. Generally, you're not allowed to bring carbon on a Bama anymore. Why was this Hora Asha? Because here the Malach told him to do it. Where did the Malach tell him to do it? If you go back to the pasuk to pasuk Tezayin, what did the Malach say? Vim tase ola l'Hashem, and if you want to bring an ola to Hashem, ta'alena, bring it. Right. So Manoach understood that even though there's an iser bamos right now, but since the Malach said if you want to bring a korban to Hashem, you can bring it. So that gives me the green light. That means I'm allowed to do it. That was harasha. Now it's interesting because if you think about what the Alshech said a couple pasukim ago. He actually said this. the first pasuk we read tonight, pasuk Tesvav, so the Alshech said, "I want to bring a carbon because since you're a holy man," again at the time he thought he was a navi still, but since you're a holy man, the Shekhinah of Hashem is with you, so that enables me to bring a carbon. Meaning, normally, why do you have to bring a carbon in the Mishkan? Because that was the place of the concentration of Hashem Shekhinah. If there's no active Mishkan, so there's no special concentration of Hashem Shekhinah anywhere, so I can bring a Bama anywhere. I can bring carbon on any Bama in my backyard. But once we have a Mikdash, a Mishkan, where you have the Shekhinah of Hashem concentrated in that Mishkan, so now I have to bring a carbon in that place where the Shekhinah of Hashem is. But here, says Manoach, if I have this Isha Elokim here, I have this Navi, turns out he was a Malach, but he thought he was a Navi at the time, I have this person here with me, that means the Shekhinah of Hashem is right here. So if the Shekhinah of Hashem is right here, then that means I could bring a carbon. Now the Alshech doesn't say this, but I think that what he's saying might answer that question.
Just because the Malach said it doesn't mean the Shekhinah said it.
But that's what the Alshech is saying. That's what the Alshech says. That he's even a Navi. He was a Navi, and that means that the Shekhinah is here in a more concentrated way.
So the Isser is bringing the carbon on a Bama. That's specifically
right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But a Bama really is basically built up in Mizbeach.
Yeah.
Okay? So maybe the end of here was, he brought it on the sewer, he brought it on a rock, which isn't a Bama.
So maybe it's not a classic.
Because he's not imitating the Mishkan with the Mizbeach.
I hear you, The only... Right, but I think the problem is that even if you're not bringing it on, you know, on what you call a Bama, but you still can't bring a carbon outside of the Mishkan, right?
Yeah, but the Isser, if I'm not mistaken, is bring a carbon on a Bama.
but if you bring a carbon in your backyard,
you can't bring a carbon if the Mishkan is there.
I believe so.
You can't build a Bama.
I know. I believe that the Isser is you can't bring the carbon outside of the Mishkan. I think so. I mean, certainly in the case of the Beis HaMikdash.
I saw specifically say you can't build
Dafka on a Bama. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll check it out. Yeah.
The Gross Gadolo says Umachli Lassos that the rock on which the carbon lay self-ignited.
Yes, exactly.
Didn't flame there.
Right.
So that obviously the miracle.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Done by the Malach.
Yes. So the Radak also says that. Maybe that's where they get it from over there. Mm-hmm. The Radak says that. He says that the Malach was actually the one who brought the fire here. Right? Manoach and his wife did not light a fire, which also is seems to be implied by the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says that Manoach took the Gedi and took the Mincha. Vayal alatzur. He put it on the rock and that's it. And then it says he stepped back and he watched. So that indicates that he didn't ignite it. Because if he ignited it, what's he watching? Right? If he lit the fire and he's lighting the gedi and the flower offering on fire, so what's he watching? He's just watching it burn? What does he need to do that for? Right? So Roim implies that no, he just put it there and he was standing back to watch what happens, and the Malach now miraculously, right, enables the rock to, like you said, to self-ignite, and the rock comes forth, the fire comes forth from the rock, consumes the goat and the flower, and that's the Mafli Lasos. Very good. That's one of the interpretations of the Radak. Another interpretation of the Radak, of Mafli Lasos, is that as the fire grew bigger, the Malach went right back to Shamayim through that fire. Right? So the Malach was standing there with them, and then all of a sudden, Mafli Lasos, that he immediately ascended back to heaven through that fire, as the fire was growing bigger, and growing up towards the heavens. So that Malach just, ascended back to heaven in the fire. And this whole event, Umanoach v'ishto roim, right? This whole event, number one, the miraculous consuming of the carbon on the rock, that Manoach and his wife watch, and they also watch this Malach going back up to Shamayim. Now what's interesting is that the language of Umafli la'asos triggers in our mind the language of the Bracha v'asher yotzar. Right, because that's how the Bracha v'Asher Yotzer concludes. Baruch Atah Hashem Rofecho Basar Umafli La'asos. So the word of Umafli La'asos, I don't know if it appears anywhere else in Tanakh besides for right here in this Pasuk. So presumably the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, when they established the text of that Bracha, borrowed the terminology from this Pasuk to imply something. Now what do the words Umafli La'asos mean? Hashem is Rofecho Basar. That means He heals all flesh. What's Umafli La'asos? He acts wondrously. What does it mean He acts wondrously? So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch in Sif Vav, all the way towards the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, explain the bracha of Umafli La'asos. So they offer a couple of interesting explanations, and I think some of them actually fit with the context of this pasuk. So one of them, the first one the Shulchan Aruch says, which doesn't really relate to the pasuk, is he says that the wonder of the human body is that the human body is almost like, you imagine a flask that's full of air or a balloon. Imagine a balloon that's full of air. And here you poke one little hole in the balloon. You take a needle and you poke one hole in the balloon, and what happens? All the air in the balloon rushes out through that hole. And here we have the human body, and there's so many things inside of the human body, right? Whether it's air in our lungs, whether it's, blood, or fluids, all these things that are coursing through our bodies, water, right? All these things that are coursing through our bodies. And we have many holes and pores in our bodies, and Baruch Hashem, in a healthy body, nothing is coming out, right? Despite all of the holes, despite all of the pores and the openings in our bodies, nothing is just oozing out or coming out of our bodies. When someone's sick, those kind of things happen, right? But if a person's well and healthy, things don't just come out. So that's that Umafli La'asos, that we have a body full of all sorts of things, liquid and air and all sorts of things, and nothing comes out. Nothing, everything stays in its place. That's not really related to our story, though. The Shulchan Aruch suggests one other pshat, and he says Mafli La'asos, that the body is amazing in that it has a digestive system that's able to differentiate and to distinguish between the things that are good and the things that are bad. Right? It's able to take in the nutrients and the things that are good that our body needs, and it's able to excrete all of the bad things. So those systems that our body has, those are amazing systems. So that might be related, as we'll see in a minute. The last pshat, which is quoted by the Ramah, which I think is the most amazing, the Ramah says, what's Umafli La'asos? He says the fact that we have a physical guf, we have a physical body that houses a spiritual neshama, that's the Mafli La'asos. The fact that you can have the spiritual residing in the physical, that's a wonder, that's amazing. That's the umafli lasos. So I think that this also can relate to this pasuk, because what's this pasuk say? We're referring to the malach as umafli lasos. According to this last interpretation of the Radak, why are we referring to him as umafli lasos? Because he was able to either, well, two interpretations. Either he was able to bring Aish, right, to bring fire from the rock, you know, which is almost like something spiritual coming from something physical, right? Or he was able to leave his physical form and ascend back into that fire, through the fire, up into the heavens, right? In the, you know, as Manoach and his wife watched, that's also Mafli Lasos. Again, you see this combination that until now, the Malach was occupying his physical form. Until now, he looked like a human being. He approached them like a human being. And now he's ascending back as a Malach. So this duality between the physical and the spiritual, you know, relates to that wording of Umafli Lasos. Maybe that's why the Avshei Knesset HaGedolah chose that language of Umafli Lasos and Asher Yatzar, because it also highlights these two elements, the element of the physical and the spiritual, according to the Ramah. Maybe that's where it comes from. Okay. If we take a look, let's take a look at Pasuk Chaf. Vayhi ba'alos halahav me'al ha'mizbeach ha'shamayma. As this flame is growing up from the mizbeach towards the heavens, vayalach malach Hashem b'lahav ha'mizbeach. So as we said earlier, but it's really clear in this Pasuk, the malach Hashem ascends into this flame, up back to Shamayim. U'manoach v'ishto roim, Manoach and his wife are watching this entire event, and obviously they're overcome by what they're seeing. Vayiplu al pneihem arza, and they fall down, they bow out of awe, out of reverence. They just saw, you know, a miraculous consuming of their korban. They just saw a malach ascend back to heaven. This is something that's a little bit much for them, and therefore they fall down. Now it's interesting that, and we'll see this a little bit in a little bit, but the Malbim says this is a big deal. It's a big deal. You know, it's one thing to see a malach who appears in physical form. But that, you know, we have throughout Tanakh, we have malachim appearing in a physical form, and people see them, people interact with them. Okay, that's not, it's good, but it's not the end of the world. But here, to see a malach revert back to his spiritual form in front of your eyes, to see the malach who was just physical a minute ago, and all of a sudden he just ascends back to Shemayim in the fire, that's something amazing, says the Malbim. That's something amazing. And he says that it's unusual for someone to be able to see that. In fact, he says, if you look at the story of Eliyahu and Elisha, Eliyahu, Hanavi, essentially tells Elisha, who was his student, that if you're going to watch as I go back up to Shemayim, you're not going to be able to see me. Right? You're not going to be able to watch that, to view that. So Eliyahu is telling Elisha that he can't do it. And here we have Manoach and his wife able to see this malach ascend back into a spiritual form. Okay, we'll see a little bit more about this in a moment. If you look at Pasuk Chaf Aleph, yeah.
So if the spiritual aspect of the malach ascended to Shemayim, what happened to the malach's physical aspect?
So again, you know, it seems that it just kind of dissipates.
Evaporates.
Yeah. You know, it's not like it's not like the malach is a spiritual form that occupies an existing human body. You know, it seems like the malach just takes on a physical form. So the same way he took on the physical form, you know, he just reverts back to a spiritual form.
Uh-huh. But it's not a real physical form.
I mean, to them it seemed physical.
Human being.
To them it seemed physical. Correct. Right, correct. To them it looked physical. Mm-hmm. It's like the malachim that appeared to Avraham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Avraham didn't know they were malachim. You look at them, they look like people. Now I imagine, you know, they didn't eat. You know, it's not like they were really human. Right? Even the malachim then didn't eat.
They didn't have hearts, they didn't have brains, exactly. Whatever.
Right, so they didn't eat. And that's what the malach is saying also to Manoach. He's saying, you know, you're inviting me for dinner.
Can't eat.
You know, that's not something that I can do. Right? So even though he took on a physical form, but it wasn't 100% physical, right. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'lo yasaf od malach Hashem leheraos el Manoach ve'el ishto. Okay, what does this mean exactly? The Malach Hashem no longer appeared to Manoach and his wife. Oz yada Manoach ki Malach Hashem hu. So on a very simple level, it means that he no longer appeared. Meaning he came once, he came a second time, and this was it. You know, after this time when the Malach ascended back to Shemayim, he no longer ever appeared to Manoach and his wife. This was the last sighting, so to speak, of this Malach. The Radak says, no, the Radak says that it means that once they saw him go up to Shamayim, the Lo Yosaf Oda, now he was no longer visible. They could not see him anymore. Now they knew, Oz Yada, now they knew that he was a Malach. Right? So the Radak understands that the first part of the Pasuk is really related to this. He offers a couple of interpretations. The first interpretation he says is that Oz Yada Manoach is going back on the previous Pasuk. That once they saw him going up into the fire, then they knew that he was a Malach. So you see this person all of a sudden just ascend into a fire up to Shemaim, you know he's a Malach, you know he's not a human being. The other interpretation that he gives is that no, it's connected to the first part of the Pasuk. That once he disappeared, and Velo Yasafod, meaning once he disappeared, now they knew he was a Malach. Right? Now they knew he was a Malach. The Malbim says that until this point, that when the Malach disappeared into the fire, until this point, Manoach wasn't sure. Right? But now that he sees that the Malach goes up into the fire, he sees that he's not just a person who's doing, you know, wondrous things, but he's somebody, you know, this is really a Malach. So then this is what makes him sure. Now, Pasuk Chaf Beis is fascinating. Vayomer Manoach al Ishto, Mos Namus ki Elokim Ra'inu. So he says the Manoach to his wife, we're going to die because we've seen God. Ki Elokim, right? Now Elokim here doesn't mean we've literally seen God, because obviously they didn't see God. Sudas David says it means we saw the Malach of Hashem. But we saw a Malach of Hashem, how can we live? How can we live through this? Now the Malbim and the Rabag both point out here that if, you know, our memories are not that good. But he says they say, oh, we already discussed this by Gidon in Perek Vav. Right? So if you look back in Perek Vav at the story with Gidon, so if you remember, Gidon also saw a Malach, and the Pasuk says there, this is Perek Chavav, Pasuk Chavbeis, Vayar Gidon ki Malach Hashem hu. Gidon sees that this person talking to him is a Malach Hashem. Vayomer Gidon, Aha Hashem, ki al kein ra'isi Malach Hashem ponim al ponim. He cries out, Oi, Aha, Oi vei Hashem. I just saw a Malach ponim al ponim. And the Mepharshim say, what was he screaming out about? He was afraid he was going to die. He was afraid he was going to die. The Rabag says, we also find this when it comes to Yaakov. Because Yaakov in Bereishis Perek Lamed Beis says, Vayikra Yaakov Shema Akom Piniel. Right? When he sees the Malach, he calls the place, that place, he calls it Piniel. Ki ro'isi Elokim ponim el ponim vati notzel nafshi. I saw a Malach face to face and I survived. So you see also the sensitivity that Yaakov has, that he thinks that by seeing a Malach he should die. And Baruch Hashem, I survived. I'm going to name it Piniel. And then finally, also there's a pasuk in Shemos Perek Chaf Dalid that the Rabbag also quotes, which is Ve'latzile b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yodah. There's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim where the Malach did not hurt b'nei Yisrael. Vayechezu esau Elokim vayochlu vayishtu. They saw Hashem. They saw the Malach, and they ate and drank. And here, what are they eating and drinking? What are they celebrating? They're celebrating the fact that lo shalach yodah, that he didn't touch them. He didn't hurt them. And again, we have this again and again, says the Rabbag, that throughout the Torah and Tanakh, we find that people, when they see Malachim, they think they're going to die. Why do they think they're going to die when they see Malachim? So the Malbim explains that a Malach, if you think about it, a Malach is really something spiritual, as we said. And if you see the Malach, that means that you're seeing this something spiritual occupying a physical goof. So the Malbim says that the people would think that if I'm able to see that, that means that my neshama is beginning to separate from my guf. That if I'm able to see a malach, which is really spiritual, and I can see the malach in a physical form, then that means that my spiritual element, my neshama, is beginning to separate from the guf, and that's why I'm able to see it. So that's why all of these people, Gidon, Manoach, Yaakov, right, Bnei Yisrael, they're all nervous that once they see a malach, that means we're going to die. And if we're not dying, then something is going on. Because really, we should be dying. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vatomer lo ishto. And his wife says to him, Manoach. Come on, let's be real. We're not going to die. Why? Luchavetz Hashem lahamiseinu. Because if Hashem wanted to kill us, lo lokach miyadeinu olo umincha. Number one, he wouldn't take a carbon from us. Right? And the Mepharshim, the Malbim points out, right? If he accepted our carbon, that's a sign of love. That's a sign of acceptance. That's not a sign of anger and punishment. Right? So if he accepted our karma, that's a good sign. That means we're not going to die. Number two, Velo Heranu es kol eile. Also, why didn't he show us all of these wonders? This is the second argument, says the Malbim. Why did he show us all these miracles? He showed us the miracle of the angel ascending to heaven. He showed us the miracle of the carbon miraculously being consumed on the rock. Why did he show us all of these things? Obviously, we're going to survive. And you see here also that the reason why Hashem brings miracles is to teach us something, is to teach us lessons. So says Eishes Manoach, if we're going to die, we don't need to learn any lessons. Why is he showing us miracles? Right? We're about to drop dead. So obviously, we're not going to die. And furthermore, the third argument, says the wife of Manoach, v'cha'ez lo hishmianu kazos. Also, why would he come and tell us that we're going to have a child? Right, that was the news that the Malach brought. We're going to have a child and we have to raise him as a Nazir. Well, if we're going to die, then how are we going to have a child? So says the wife of Manoach, I know you're scared because you just saw a Malach, I get that, but it's very clear to me that we're not going to die for these three reasons. We're not going anywhere. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vateled Ha'isha Bein. Okay, so we fast forward, I guess about 9 months or so, and Manoach's wife gives birth to a son, Vatikra es Shemo Shimshon. She names this child Shimshon. Vayigdal Hanar Vayivarcheu Hashem. And this child grows up, and Hashem blesses him. He has a special bracha from Hashem. Pasuk Chaf Hei, Vatochel Ruach Hashem Lefa'amo. So the spirit of Hashem begins Lefa'amo. Now, what does it mean, lefa'amo? We'll see in a minute. B'machane Don, in the camp of Don, this was the right, Manoach from Shevet Don, Bein Tzara Uvein Eshta'ol. This was the geographic location between these two places called Tzara and Eshta'ol. That's where he lived. That's where Shimshon was being raised. Now, what's the lefa'amo? The Ruach Hashem began lefa'amo. So Rashi says lefa'amo is from the language of lif'amim. What's lif'amim? Sometimes. And that means that throughout the time that Shimshon was growing up, there were times when all of a sudden he would be overcome by a Ruach Hashem, by a spirit of godliness. And therefore, you know, Shimshon probably knew, and maybe those around him knew also, that this was a special kid. Like, this wasn't your average kid. Because occasionally, all of a sudden, he would become enveloped by this Ruach Hashem. The Radak says, Pashup Shat, Lefa'amo, it means that it strengthened him. And that Shimshon, we know Shimshon was a gibor, was a very strong warrior, and he says that the Ruach Hashem began to strengthen Shimshon. He grew up as a very strong person. He says, we don't know, the Pasuk doesn't say, but maybe Shimshon was involved in some battles, in some fights, in some wars that we don't know about, that he emerged victorious, and the Ruach Hashem began to strengthen him as a warrior. Perhaps that's what it means. And Chazal understand, the Radak quotes, that Lefa'amo actually refers to a pa'amon. What's a pa'amon? A bell. So what does it mean that the Ruach Hashem began to ring? So it means, he says, the Ruach Hashem is the Nevuah. The Nevuah began to ring before him. What Nevuah are we talking about? So it explains the Radak, we're referring to the Nevuah of Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu. Because when, right before he dies, he gives all of his sons a bracha. What's the bracha that he gives? Shevet Dan. Right, which is the Shevet of Manoach and Shimshon. What does the Pasuk say in Bereishis Memtes and Parshas Vayechi? Yehi Don Nachash Alei Derech. Don should be like a snake on the road. This was the bracha and the nevuah that Yaakov had for Shevet Don. What does that mean, he was a snake on the road? So Rashi there in Parshas Vayechi explains, what does it mean, a snake on the road? Rashi says it's like a horse with a rider is traveling on a road and there's a snake. If the snake bites the horse in the leg, what happens? The horse rears up its legs, the rider goes flying. Right? That's the Nevuah. So says Rashi, what's that referring to? That's referring to the story of Shimshon. Because as we know, later, we're not up to this yet, but as we know in the story of Shimshon, in Perek Tezayin, what's going to happen? Shimshon is going to be in that Colosseum. Right? And he takes the two pillars, and he smashes the two pillars, and the whole thing comes crashing down, and kills all of the Plishtim. Right? We know we're going to, this is the famous story that we know from Perek Tezayin. He says, that's the Nevuah of Yehi Don Nachash Alei Derech. Right, that Shimshon became this snake that bit the Plishtim and was able to kill them, to throw the rider off, and was able to kill them. So says the Radak, that's a Chazal Amdusim, Atochel Ruach Hashem Lefa'amo, that the Nevuah of Yaakov, that Yaakov had this Nevuah, the Ruach Hashem, it began to ring in front of Shimshon, that as Shimshon grew and became stronger and became more of a Gibor and had this Ruach Hashem, this nevuah began to ring that one day he's going to eventually throw off these plishtim, eventually going to defeat these plishtim. Yitz Hashem will pick up next week with Perek Yudalid as we learn a little bit about Shimshon growing into a man.